Well, good afternoon. We are here because of some serious issues that have recently come to light regarding the Buffalo VA Medical Center. Specifically, there are concerns that the oncology department mishandled referrals for cancer treatment, leading to unacceptable delays for some of our veterans. The very idea that a veteran may not receive or have received the care that they needed in a timely manner due to administrative failure is frankly outrageous. Cancer is a disease where time is everything. Time is critical. Every day counts. And for many veterans, delays in treatment can mean the difference between life and death. Even one veteran slipping through the cracks is too many. However, the Buffalo VA has a long history of providing high quality care to our community's veterans. It's an institution that I've always held in very high regard and one that has cared for many of our heroes in our district and throughout Western New York who have served our country with valor. Today, I met with the interim leadership here at the hospital, including Sean DeFries, who has stepped into the director role. I toured the oncology department. Mr. DeFries has been very cooperative, very forthcoming, and I am confident that working together, we can see a course correction here and ensure that this never happens again and that our veterans get the care that they've earned and that they deserve. What I want to add here is that this hospital is a world-class facility. You know, many people get very positive outcomes here every day. And what has come to light is perhaps 3 to 4 dozen, as I've spoken today with the Assistant Secretary of Veterans Affairs that oversees this department. And they assure me that there'll be an IG report that will come out in September, perhaps early October, that will fully detail what has happened here at the Buffalo VA. But it's somewhere between 3 and 4 dozen cases where veterans cancer referrals for community partners. Now that's when the VA can't handle the treatment in-house. They have to work with an institution such as Roswell or one of our other various hospitals. That is what has happened here, and it is some of that care has been delayed. There was one instance I know that has been talked about where a veteran with a lung cancer diagnosis went as many as 10 weeks without getting the proper appointments in place. That is truly unacceptable. And I believe from my conversations here with the interim leadership, with the existing leadership, they're getting to the bottom of this. They're gonna clear out a caseload and make sure that this does not continue at this facility. While changes in leadership are a step in the right direction, that alone is not enough. Accountability is key to restoring trust here at the Buffalo VA. And that begins with a thorough investigation. This was brought to my attention by the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, that this was going on in our backyard. We sprang into action very quickly and issued a letter calling for a thorough investigation of the situation here. We need answers to critical questions. How did this happen? Very simply put, how could this happen? How widespread is the issue? How many veterans have been affected? And most importantly, how do we make sure that this never happens again to a veteran that needs critical and timely care? We've been in very close contact with the House Committee on Veterans Affairs and under the leadership of Chairman Mike Boss of the great state of Illinois. We are coordinating efforts for this investigation to get to the bottom of this issue. Chairman Boss does great work, and I am confident that the committee's investigation will be extremely thorough. Right now, we're still waiting, as I said, for the full report from the Inspector General from the VA. They have been extremely proactive. They have been extremely communicative. I spoke at length today with the Undersecretary, as I spoke of today, and we are now on a cell phone relationship. And we will continue to stay on this until we have the full answers. The chairman of the committee and I will continue pressing for the information and preparing to take whatever steps are necessary to ensure that this kind of failure does not happen again here at the Buffalo VA or frankly any VA facility within my congressional district or purview. Let me make this perfectly clear. This is not a budget issue. Year after year, Congress has delivered record-breaking investments into the VA system to make sure that our veterans get the care that they deserve. This is about an administrative failure, an employee failure somewhere in the food chain here, meaning somewhere in the system, something is broken. Or worse, someone wasn't doing their job appropriately. And that is frankly unacceptable. I'm confident through the discussions I've had here today at the Buffalo VA, they are going to leave no stone unturned until this process is fixed, any backlogs are corrected, and the veterans are seen in a very timely fashion. Our veterans answered the call to serve, and it's our sacred duty to ensure that they're treated with the respect and the dignity that they deserve. The Buffalo VA has a very important role in this community. And we need it to be functioning at its absolutely peak highest level. To every veteran who's experienced a delay in treatment at the Buffalo VA, I urge you to contact my office. Reach out. I want your stories. Your stories are essential to this investigation and ensuring that we fully understand the impact of the failures. I know that many of you might be worried or angry about what you've heard. Trust me, I share your frustration, and that's why we've taken the swift action that I and my team have. I want you to be assured that I am fully committed to seeing that this gets fixed and fixed promptly. The VA is supposed to be a place of healing where our veterans get the care they need without delays, excuses, or red tape. My office has a little saying that no problem is too big or no problem is too small. We invite any constituent to call us when dealing with a federal agency. We deal with a lot of veterans' casework, including many here at the Buffalo VA, the Bath VA, patients that get treated at the Batavia VA. And I will say that we have a very attentive and cooperative relationship with these facilities. And our veterans cherish their ability to go to the VA for their care. I will always ensure that we are fighting for our veterans in making sure that they get what they're entitled to. And I'll close with this. Our veterans deserve nothing less than the very best care that our nation has to offer. They've sacrificed so much for us. Now it's our turn to step up and make sure that they get the care that they've been promised, what they've earned, and what they deserve. I won't settle for anything less than that. And I have expressed my extreme displeasure with the management that's been relieved of duty, that this was allowed to happen on their watch. And I really want to salute the undersecretary for his swift action, relieving the management of this facility immediately, installing interim leadership, and hopefully getting this course corrected very, very swiftly. I'm grateful for everyone that's working hard to address the issues of Western New York veterans. And we are going to make sure that the men and women who serve this country receive timely, top-of-the-line care that they deserve. I thank you very much for your interest here, and I'd be happy to take any questions. Well, it seems as though there are some processes that are out of whack. And until the full report and the Inspector General issues that full report, we won't know the entirety of the story. What you have is interim leadership here now who's assessing the current backlog, contacting the patients that were delayed in their community referrals to the other facilities in Western New York for care, mostly oncology. And they're fixing the problem before we have the full prescription of the Inspector General report. The Inspector General report will give us a full diagnosis of what went wrong, who failed, and that's a very important report to have. But what I hear today is an experienced group of professionals that are working hard to clear out any backlogs, to make sure that there's no long waits for our veterans as they need care from outside of the walls of this facility, and making sure that there's any, if there's any problems with community partners, other hospitals, medical facilities, that those are ironed out immediately. I think you have very dedicated people that work here every day. They're career employees. And they want the very best for our veterans, just like I do. just like all of us do. And I think they're very dedicated to doing that. So I think we have a failure at the top by the sounds of things. And I really appreciate the swift action of the undersecretary in relieving the top echelon of their duty in bringing in fresh eyes to see what the heck happened here and why we ended up in this position.
So the problem with 3 to 4 dozen people with community referrals was that they weren't getting approved to go see?
It wasn't approvals. It was the delay in the scheduling. And, you know, there's a staffing shortage in every medical facility in America at this point. There's staffing issues that the VA faces, that our private hospitals and our not-for-profit hospitals face in a big way. And that needs to be ultimately fixed with, you know, but we have a very tight labor market right now. And this is hard work. Medical professionals obviously have to be trained. They have to be the best of the best. And it's, you know, you're dealing with a crisis in the labor market where it may pay more to work in a job that has far less stress. So I think there is a lack of staffing, but it sounds like this wasn't due to a hiring issue. This was due to a failure to perform the duties that you were prescribed. That's what I've heard so far. I will withhold final judgment until I read that Inspector General's report. But what I can report back is that I hear professionals here, both administrators and doctors and nurses and clinicians that are here to treat our veterans, to give them the best that they deserve. And they're working through a backlog right now so that no veteran has to wait for the oncology care that they need. As I stated at the beginning, a 10-week delay in receiving the appointments that you need is one that could mean your cancer spreads, your cancer moves on to the next stage. It could be a life or death situation. And that's wholly unacceptable that someone that wore the uniform of this country had to wait 10 weeks to get a damn appointment. I find it wildly unacceptable. I think the interim leadership here joins me in that displeasure, and they're working hard to make sure that any backlogs that currently exist are alleviated and that this does not happen going forward.
It seems like I have a couple of years understanding that the VA talking about some issue that's going on, and we talked about this being a world-class facility. What do you think? It's just that the VA is under a bigger microscope than other hospitals, or do you think it's not doing as well?
I do think it's under a microscope because it's a government agency. You know, our other hospitals don't have the level of investigations that you have with an inspector general. Obviously, whistleblowers, you know, people that come forward with information. So I do think that since this is a taxpayer-funded facility, you are going to get more accountability. We need that accountability. I relish that accountability because had someone not come forward, and it's unclear yet if it's a employee or a patient, with this story, we wouldn't have been able to start the process to get to the bottom of this. I think that that's what's very unique about the VA. We hear from our veterans in my office every single day. They like going to the VA. They like having a hospital dedicated to them. They've earned this ability to come to a facility that is dedicated to those that wore the uniform of our nation. And we, in turn, owe them the very best care that they can possibly get. And that's what I believe that the professionals here want to see done. We want any administrator that is showing a level of incompetence or not doing their job needs to be relieved of duty. I trust that the Inspector General's report will tell that whole story, give that whole roadmap of how did we get to this moment. But the crystal clear objective here is how do we fix the problem as it exists today? And I think that they have started that process and are moving swiftly to correct the course.
Here. You also hear that the PACT Act has put a lot of pressure. this a case, and I'm not saying you specifically, but is this a case where politicians have made a lot of promises to veterans they can't?
Oh, we can keep these promises, and that's why we have...
Doesn't this indicate problems?
Well, I am assured that this is not a budgetary problem. This is a staffing problem. This is an incompetence problem. And that's why we have congressional oversight. That's why I'm here today. Overall, I haven't looked at the entire system. I am not a member of the Veterans Affairs Committee. I have not reviewed the national trends. It's something that myself and my staff are going to be digging into to make sure that by any metric available, we know that Buffalo VA is performing at the top level. We want this to be seen as one of the best facilities that there is in the country. And I do think, you know, we are not an area of population growth. We have population in service demands that are easy to project based on the fact that we have a dwindling population, not a growing population. Areas like Arizona and Florida that have seen explosive growth, their community referrals are a more amplified problem because they don't have the facilities because they have not kept up with the growth of the population of their service areas. I think this is something that we do need to review the entirety of the system, and I think it's done on a very regular basis. The PACT Act is providing important relief to veterans as they return home, especially from this last batch of conflict with toxic burn pit exposure, and making sure those veterans have the care that they deserve as they return home. But you know, the shortfall that has been identified is not one that's been requested by the administration. Congress has met the request and exceeded the request of the administration in fiscal year 2024, and we just passed fiscal year 2025. We can only appropriate what is asked for by the administration, and then we've topped it up, but it's not because a need has been outlined. This is relatively new information that they see a long-term shortfall, but I am assured that this problem at Buffalo VA has nothing to do with budget. The undersecretary assured me that there is no hiring freeze that's been put in place due to where there is a need, hiring is done. The entire system has had a 2.5% growth in employment this last calendar year, and I think that's an important fact to know. This isn't because of a lack of personnel. This is really more someone didn't do their job appropriately. And there needs to be continual, perpetual congressional oversight over the VA, making sure that these facilities are performing in the manner that they're prescribed under the law, that our veterans have a high satisfaction level, and we're getting the medical outcomes necessary to keep them as healthy as possible, to give them the quality of life that they deserve after their service. So we will continue to review the prognosis of a long-term budgetary shortfall, but I am assured that this situation has nothing to do with that report that came out in July.
Congressman, how much liability does these deficiencies over the VA have to, could they, see
loss? I'm no attorney. I mean, there's certainly, programs that families that feel that they were given an unfavorable outcome, it could have caused a death of their loved one, they have recourse. And we're also going to be digging into that. We don't have the specific names of patients. We don't have the specifics yet on did this lead to any fatality. That is something, some cases were people in end-stage care. And that is, something where a sensitivity to timing and making sure that the patient was as comfortable as possible, received the treatment that they needed. If that was not done, shame on anyone responsible for that. And they should be relieved of duties, in my opinion. But this investigator general's report is going to be critical to understanding the whole picture. Right now we have allegations. Once allegations came forward, there was swift action by the VA administration to relieve administrators of duty. I'm very pleased at that swift action. I'm very pleased with the forthcomingness of the undersecretary. Let's not kid ourselves. I'm of a different party than the administration, but I found nothing but cooperation in every call I've made so far.
Go through some of these fires and other medical centers around. swept back into the bureaucracy of the VA, or you think, are you confident there will be accountability?
I will be fighting for accountability. I have a hard time with some of the civil service laws in this country. I think that a lot of times bad actors get kept around because of civil service protections. And if there's someone that has shown gross incompetence, that's led to loss of life or suffering, they need to be terminated. And they should be removed on a permanent basis. They shouldn't become someone else's problem. I mean, we've seen in a lot of our institutions in our community where people were bad actors in one place and became a bad actor somewhere else. That's not acceptable. And we need to fight for that accountability. And that's where this Investigator General's report is critical, to know the whole story here. You know, as soon as the allegations were brought to my attention, we swiftly acted. And because that's what our veterans deserve. Our veterans deserve the attention of their elected officials and their elected leaders. And we need to hold any institution that receives taxpayer funding fully accountable for how those dollars are spent and the outcomes of that investment. And that's why I'm here. I'm a very visual person. I want to see things firsthand. This is the first time I've been here as a member of Congress. I've been here several times when I was a congressional staffer, but that's been many years ago at this point. But I had nothing but positive conversations today. I was faced by interim leadership that is working to fix the problem before they even have the full diagnosis. They're going to clear out this caseload, make sure there's no one waiting, and that any referrals going forward are handled swiftly. I support our nurses. I think we've had a lot of problems with nursing across the system, not just at the VA, but in all of our hospitals after the COVID vaccine. And a lot of people lost their job because their unwillingness to receive that vaccine. It's compounded staffing issues, and I understand there's a disparity about pay. I think we need to compensate our nurses and our medical professionals well. They're here to save lives and take care of people. And we need to focus, I think, some of our energies and our investments in making sure that we're compensating the people that take care of people at their most vulnerable moment. And so I strongly, you know, support nurses across the board. I've stood on picket lines and around upstate New York with nurses when they were sent pink slips because they didn't want a government official telling them they had to have a vaccine that was untested. And I think a lot of, you know, time has told them they were probably right, because these people were exposed to COVID and they came to work every day while the rest of us stayed home to stay safe. I think that's compounded our problems with the nurses, and I believe their picketing is going on nationwide. It just happens to be tomorrow here in Buffalo. But I fully support our nurses, and I hope that we can get some additional hiring if there is indeed a backlog. I addressed that concern with the interim leadership here today, and they believe it. The union has concerns about pay scale. I think that we need to evaluate we've had a lot of arbitrary decisions in our government as to who should get paid what levels. Our nurses are not an area where we should cheap out. I mean, they are people that put their lives on the line. They've put their own families at risk and their own lives at risk when they were in this hospital every single day, caring for patients and COVID patients while everyone else stayed at home. And I think that's something that we all have to remember anytime we're talking about nursing. But it's also, you know, with the labor market being as tight as it is, there's less people going into the field, whether it's nursing, skilled nursing, or nursing assistants, because it's extremely hard. It's extremely taxing work. It's hard on their bodies. And we need to make sure there's a pay scale in place that makes sense, that allows people to feel rewarded for the hard work that they do. I we talk about a lot of issues in Western New York. He's fairly new to Congress. I think he was just before recess put on the House Veterans Committee. I'm sure he'll be extremely attentive to this situation, as am I. This is a, this facility sits in his district by a little bit, but it serves basically all of Western New York. You know, I have a facility in Bath on the other end of my district. There's a facility in Congresswoman Tenney's district in Batavia that also serves veterans, from throughout Western New York, and in veterans from far and wide, veterans as far away as Syracuse, Pennsylvania, U.S. veterans and U.S. citizens that live in Ontario. They come here to this hospital for the care that they're entitled to. And I think we all have to take this seriously. This is not a partisan issue by any sense of the imagination. And I trust that we will all work to make sure that we're trying to get the resources into this facility, but also to make sure that this never happens again. Any other questions? Yeah, I'll do those separate. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much, everyone.